Have you ever scrolled through your newsfeed and all you see is bad news? Well, it can be the same with reading Micah, but there is hope coming. There is good news. There's good news coming. So while everyone before me gets to talk about judgment, I get to talk about hope. So it took me many brain cells and days and night to come up with a title for this talk. And I came up with the title, Hope, while everyone else had judgment. So before we get started into it, let's pray for God's guidance and wisdom. Dear Lord, thank you that you are a great God who loves us, Lord. We thank you for the hope that you bring, Lord. We thank you for the future hope, the restoration, Lord, of your kingdom, Lord. And help me as I give up the talk. Let me rely on may your words flow out through me, and let me rely on your strength, Lord. And help us open up our hearts and our minds so that we may hold on to that hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as a church, we have been going through Micah. And the past few weeks, and in case you guys weren't here last week, past few weeks, I'll give a quick context on the book. And in Micah, we read about the Israelites before they were taken into exile. And before chapter 4 and 5, all they heard from prophet Micah was that judgment was coming. That judgment was coming. And this took place roughly about 2,700 years ago. So, if you were here last week and you're back, then nice work. Because last week's talk wasn't something you wanted to hear on a Saturday night. I mean, who wants to hear about judgment right before they're about to sleep, right? So, who wants to hear that? Well, last week's chapter ended by showing us how corrupted the leaders were. They were doing things that they should have been doing for free. They were doing it for a price. And in order to stop all the corruption, God calls judgment on them. And that is how chapter 3 ends. So, not a very hopeful chapter, is it? Well, there is hope coming and there's a good news coming. So, let's get started on chapter 4 and 5, the hope of restoration. So, in verse 1 to 5, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nations, nor they will train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken, and all the nations may walk in the name of their God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." So, starting verse 1, it's a completely different tone to how chapter 3 ended. Chapter 3 ended by saying, because of how corrupt the priests and the prophets were with the way they were teaching and telling fortunes, God caused judgment on them by saying, "Zion will be plowed like a field, Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, and the temple hill a mound overgrown with thickets." But with the way chapter 4 starts, Micah offers them a hope of restoration. A hope that in the last days, Zion, Jerusalem, and the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. And many people will stream to it, and many nations will come. So, this points us back to the promise made by Abraham by God in Genesis chapter 17, verse 4 to 7. God said, "I have made a covenant with you, and you will be the father of many nations, and I will make you fruitful, and kings will come from you, and this covenant will be everlasting between me, you, and your descendants. So, because of who God is and the covenant that he has made, he's speaking through Micah to announce and to remind the Israelites that I am keeping the covenant, even though you are going to be exiled, even though the leaders that I have appointed to lead you are corrupted. I am giving you a hope of restoration that is going to happen. So, it's not all bad news. Good news is coming, and there is hope. So, in this hope of restoration, the Israelites are looking forward to the future. The future that many nations will say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord so that he can teach us his ways and we can walk in his path. The nations will be streaming into Jerusalem willingly to meet with the Lord God and to know him better. The Lord will also teach many nations the right way to live, the righteous way to live, and will teach them to walk in the light of truth and walk in a righteous path that will please the Lord. So, and then the law will go forth from Zion and the word will go forth from Jerusalem. Many nations will like and grasp what they hear, that they are willing to be partakers of it. And not only will he teach the nations his righteous way, but he will also be a righteous judge. A righteous judge where he will judge many peoples and will settle disputes far and wide. And this puts into perspective to the Israelites on just how far and wide that the nations are willing to submit to the Lord. And this brings them hope. No matter how far the distance is to the nation or how big the nation is, they are willing to hear and to obey the Lord's righteous judgment. And with the Lord ruling, swords will be turned into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. There will not be wars, nor they will train or know of war. And as we move on, Micah gives Israelites a beautiful picture for peace in verse 4 for the future. So in verse 4, Micah states, in the days to come, we will sit under our own vine and under our own fig tree. And no one will make us afraid, because you know why? Because our Lord Almighty has spoken. But for now, all the nations may walk in the name of their gods. But as for us, the Israelites, we will continue to walk in the name of our Lord, our God, forever and ever. So, don't be afraid. Let's move on to verse 6 to 8. So, in that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles, and those I have brought grief. I will make the lame my remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion, from that day and forever. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you, and kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem. So we see in these verses, Micah gives us yet another beautiful and powerful picture. Micah gives hope to the lame and the exiles, saying, when this restoration happens, it is just not for the strong, but for the lame. He will make the lame his remnant, and the Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion, and from that day and forever. So this is Micah talking to the Israelites. Then he goes on to the watchtowers, or the leaders of Israel, and gives them hope by saying, the former dominion that you once had will be restored, and the king will come and be the one to do it. So, be hopeful, because this restoration will happen. So for the Israelites, there is good news coming, and there is hope coming. In verse 9 to 13, Micah tells the Israelites, I have just given you a clear hope to the future that all things will be restored. Why are you crying? Will you not have a king? Do you not have a ruler? Do you not remember what I have just told you? Have hope. Then Micah states, although we are going into exile, do not be afraid. We will be rescued. The Lord will redeem you out of the hands of your enemies. Continue to have that hope, because it's not all bad news. There is good news coming. and there is hope coming. So, at this moment, many nations are gathered against the Israelites, and they're saying, "Let her be defiled." But Micah comforts and gives them hope once again, saying, "These enemies of us do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They don't understand the Lord's plan. They don't know where the Lord is leading them. Have hope, because in that moment, he will give you horns of iron and hooves of bronze. And you will break your enemies into pieces. So have hope. The Lord will deliver you from your enemies. Because the Lord's plan for the enemies is to lead them to destruction." Despite the judgment and the exile for the Israelites, God will bring hope and restoration for them, because there's good news coming and there is hope coming. So, we live in a time where our days are evil. We look on the news and all we see is bad news. We see war-torn countries, corrupt leaders. We see executions. We see persecutions. We see families with no homes and no food. We see divisions and hostility everywhere we look. And let's be honest, there's really not a whole lot of hope going around the world. And we see all these things happening. So, what is this hope of restoration Micah is telling us that we have? We see Micah is telling us, the hope that Micah is telling us is that countries will come together to go to the Lord and learn the Lord's ways. And that all countries will walk in his path, and because of the Lord, there will be peace between countries where weapons of mass destructions will not exist anymore. There will be no more war-torn countries, no more corrupt leaders, no more persecutions. We will see families with homes and food, and the Lord will rule rightly over everyone. And this is the hope of restoration that we have. And this is the good news that is coming. And this is the hope that is coming. So, do you live as if this were true? Are you holding on to the hope that we have, to the good news and the hope that is coming? Are we holding on to it? It may all sound like bad news, but there is good news coming, and that there is hope coming. Sounds too good to be true in a time where everything is hopeless and everyone is divided. So hold on to that hope. Hold on to that hope. So in chapter 4, we learn that God will bring hope and restoration. Now in chapter 5, we will learn how God will deliver hope and restoration. And he does that through a king. So, let's get into chapter 5. So, in chapter 5, let's be aware that to the Israelites, the way they see this prophecy is not the way that we see this prophecy. They see this prophecy as a not too distant future. And while being exiled, they're seeing this while not being exiled. They are expecting a king that will come from Bethlehem and to stand and shepherd his flock and to save them from the Assyrians, and that the Assyrians will be defeated by this king. In verse 7 to 15, they are given a description of a warrior king who will destroy the enemy's horses and their chariots, a king who will destroy the cities and the strongholds, a king who will destroy witchcraft and destroy idols, a king who will take vengeance in anger and wrath on nations that have not obeyed him. And that was a quick summarization of chapter 5. So this was the hope of restoration, and that it would come through a king. And the king was to come from Bethlehem. And this king was no ordinary king. So, in verse 1 to 5, "Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. So this passage shows us that hope would come through a king, and that this king was no ordinary king. And Micah announces that this king would come from Bethlehem Ephrathah. And so Bethlehem is well known as a hometown of the great King David. Although it was hometown to Israel's greatest king, this city was not great, nor it was an influential city. But yet Micah prophesies that God would raise up a great king, a rescuer who would come from Bethlehem. A greater king than the great King David. This king is no ordinary king, but a shepherd king. A shepherd king who loves, a shepherd king who leads, a shepherd king who feeds, a shepherd king who protects, and a shepherd king who rescues. And because of this shepherd king, they would live securely. A king whose greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. A king who will bring true peace. A king who is not born in riches, but born in a manger on a Christmas night. This shepherd king would be no other than King Jesus Christ. And Matthew chapter 2, verse 4 to 6 quotes it when Herod asks the chief priests and the teachers of the law about where the Messiah was to be born. Verse 5, "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So, we learn that this prophecy was pointing to Jesus all along. So, well, the good news that we have and the hope that we have is a shepherd king, and that shepherd king is Jesus Christ. So, how will Jesus bring us hope? And how will Jesus deliver us? By the good news. Because of our selfishness and our sinfulness, we needed hope and restoration. We needed to be delivered from our enemy. While the Israelites thought that the enemy was an earthly enemy, we see and hear that Jesus defeats a greater enemy. That greater enemy being sin and death. So the hope of restoration cannot be restored unless God's righteous wrath has been satisfied. This was delivered through Jesus Christ, the promised shepherd king, the servant. It was delivered by him coming to earth in human form to take on the wrath that was rightfully yours and mine by dying on the cross and resurrecting on the third day. So, the good news is not just for the strong, but for the sinners. It is for the lames and the sufferers. Matter of fact, it's for everyone. And with all the bad news that is going on, there is good news. There is hope. You can trust Jesus. You can look to Jesus. You can hold on to Jesus. And you can worship Jesus. Because in a world of bad news, there is good news and there is hope. And his name is Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the hope of restoration, Lord. And we thank you that it was delivered through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, Lord. May we continue to hold on to that hope, Lord. May we continue to do that, Lord. And help us to remind ourselves of that hope. In a time where the days are evil and there's division and hostility among everyone, Lord, help us continue to hold on to that hope and share the hope that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.